Well, how many of you have ever heard from God? I believe I have. I believe I've heard several times. But I can count on one hand with, I can count on one hand and drop four fingers and come up with the amount of times that God spoke to my life that it changed my life completely. You know, God has made a lot of adjustments in my life as I've heard from him over the years. He's made many adjustments in my life. How many know we need that? Yeah. But there was once that he spoke to me 32 years ago this morning in the pre-dawn. And I was trying to wake up. I was in Sierra Vista living there. And the Lord woke me up by the Spirit. And he said, arise and go forth on a new venture of faith, and I'll bless thee and use thee and keep thee safe. I was on my way to the county fair that day selling steel buildings. And I said, Barbara, the Lord spoke to me. This is so awesome. And I know it was him. We're going to sell so many buildings today. We're going to get rich and be able to finance missionaries and build churches. And, you know, we didn't sell a building that day. But we met two Mexican pastors. And our hearts were joined together with them on that morning, 32 years ago today, at the county fair. Our hearts were literally melted together with those pastors, and we began helping them build churches in Mexico, and we're still with them, still helping them, and still very much a part of their ministries. And so that one time that I heard from God actually changed my life completely. And my prayer for each one of you is that you won't just hear for God for adjustments only, but that you will hear from God in such a way that it'll change your life completely. Anybody want that? Wouldn't you just like to have your whole life turned around the right direction? At that point, for 37 years of my life, I had tried umpteen amount of, 4011, that's a lot. Not just 49, but 4011 occupations, and nothing seemed to fit. I couldn't find myself, and I sought for myself in the world and in the church and everywhere I could look. And on that day, I found out why I was born. Because God spoke to me in a way that changed my life. I'm asking that for each one of you, that you will have an experience for God, a wake up, a dawning in your life where your whole life gets turned around and goes the right direction. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So thank you for your giving. Thank you for your continued prayers for this ministry and for those in need around the world. One more short note, we can have an apocalyptic mentality or a kingdom mentality. Mitch and Nina mentioned the wild and crazy things that are going on around the world. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out, right? Well, there's a scripture for it. Chapter 60, Isaiah. Arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to new life. Shine the radiant glory of the Lord. For your light has come, and your glory, the glory of the Lord, is risen upon you. For behold, listen, here's your news now, Channel 13. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all people. But the Lord shall arise on you, and his glory shall be seen on you. Did you get that? Huh? Did you get that? Come on up, Barbara, or I'll keep preaching all day. Did you get that? So we can have an apocalyptic mentality that says everything's, everything on earth's going the way of the world and going to hell in a handbasket, and, things are black and dark and ugly. Yeah, but the glory of the Lord is going to rise on us. Yeah. We have his word on it. Lay hold of that, embrace it. And count on it to be a part of your life.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, a couple of weeks ago, the Lord began to just burn a scripture on my heart, and we're going to go to Isaiah 11:2. Today's going to be all about the Spirit of the Lord. But Isaiah 11:2, most of my scriptures will be New King James, and I'll try to tell you when it's different so you'll know what version it is. But it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, that was talking a prophecy about Jesus. But we know in the New Testament when it calls Jesus as the head and we are his body. So the prophecies that are for Jesus are also for us because we're his body. Amen. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And I went to the Strong's Concordance and looked up spirit. And spirit in the Hebrew meant a wind or a breath. And the Lord there, the first definition was eternal. And the second one was Jehovah. But I loved that sound. I said, the breath of the eternal one shall rest upon you. And that just sparked life in my heart. The breath of the eternal one shall rest upon you. Hallelujah. You know, you have to be close to someone to feel their breath on you. And we need to be, you know, that close to the Lord that we feel his breath on us because he desires to breathe or blow with his spirit upon us. In Hawaii, the word aloha actually means breathing the same air. Somebody that's close, you're breathing the same air. And, you know, I just kind of was talking about it yesterday and you know, if somebody has bad breath, you don't really want to be breathing the same air. You know, you kind of back off a little bit. And it kind of hit me, well, if it seems like the Lord's a long ways from you, check your breath. Check your life. What are you full of? What do you smell like? And we live in a dirty world, and we get contaminated. I mean, there's sins of the flesh, there's sins of the heart. You know, a bad attitude will even put us, you know, in a foul mood sometimes that's not pleasing to the Lord. And there's two scriptures that David, that we're going to read from David, Psalms 139:23-24. And David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. And so, you know, unforgiveness in us, or there can be a multitude of things that's wrong in us that we need to come before the Lord. And, you know, it's just like a daily time. We need to say, okay, God, do a check on me. What's going on in my heart? Psalms 51:11 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Steadfast is faithful. You know, you're the same. Build faithfulness in me, Lord. Build steadfastness in me. Hallelujah. And the last of it where it says the fear of the Lord, it's talking about the reverence of God or being in awe of God. You know, you're in awe and worship of the eternal one, of our Lord God Almighty. We're going to be looking individually at different anointings that come from the Lord. And we're going to look at the Spirit of the Lord first in Luke 4:18. And this is in the New Living Translation. It says, the Spirit of the Lord, or I'm going to say the breath of the Eternal One, is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free. And then we're going to read another one in Isaiah 61. We're going to read verse 1 and then verse 3. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord, or the breath of the eternal God, is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, Verse 3 says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen. We're wanting to set people free and to heal people so that God will be glorified. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us for our benefit, but the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us for the benefit of others. When we're born again, His Spirit comes to dwell in us, and that's for our benefit. That's for us. But He wants us to be anointed so that we will be a blessing to others and help set others free. Amen? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When God's Spirit's upon us, darkness, oppression has to leave. There, you can't mix light and dark. And when the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, it just chases off the darkness and the evil and the depression and the oppression. Hallelujah. Amen. My pages are sticking together here. Then we're going to look at the spirit of wisdom. And we're going to read some examples about the spirit of wisdom. In Joshua 34:9, it says, now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, so the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. So here, when Moses laid his hand upon Joshua, Joshua received a spirit of wisdom. So gifts of the Spirit or anointing of the Lord can be imparted to other people through the laying on of hands. And then in 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul was talking to Timothy, and he said, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So Timothy had a gift of God within him that he received when Paul laid his hands upon him, and Paul's telling him, stir up that gift that you received when I laid hands on you. Hallelujah. So that's one way to have the anointing of the Lord. And it's not the only way, but it does happen that way, that through anointed people of the Lord, when they pray for you, you receive an anointing or a gift of God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:17 was written for all of us, everybody, and it said how God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. God wants us to all have a spirit of wisdom upon us, and that's not something that we build up within us. It's something that we receive from the Lord. It comes upon us by the presence and the Spirit of the Lord. And then we have the spirit of understanding. That's in the Hebrew, that meant the same as knowledge. And we know that the word of knowledge is one of the gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to read a scripture in John 14:26-27. And this is going to be in the Amplified. It said, but when the Comforter, and this is speaking of the Holy Spirit, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, and Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, He will teach you all things. Who teaches us what we need to know? The Holy Spirit. Amen? And He will cause you to recall, will remind you of, and bring to remembrance everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Hallelujah. When we have the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit with us. Amen. And we can choose to go with the Holy Spirit or get in the flesh and be agitated and upset. And then there's the spirit of counsel in John 14, 16 through 17. And this again is in the Amplified. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, the counselor. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is a counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, lawyer, voice, one who speaks on our behalf. How many times do we need someone speaking in our behalf? Yes, amen. That's good news. Strengthener, standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Welcome, taken to its heart, because it does not see him or know him or recognize him. For he lives with you constantly and will be in you and now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he is in us. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about the spirit of might, which means power, and how it was promised in Acts 1:8. We're going to read 1:8, and it said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come up on you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And so we're going to read the first account of when the Holy Spirit fell upon the church. Hallelujah. In Acts 2, 1 through 4. And it said, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they're sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and it set up on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So we see the promise of the Holy Spirit coming. And this is when the Holy Spirit first came and fell upon the church. And then we're going to read Acts 2:41 and see what happened. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." So they were promised power when the Holy Spirit came. Then they received that power, and that same day 3,000 people were born again. So that's evidence that the power came upon them. Hallelujah. And then the spirit of truth. We're going to look at the spirit of truth, John 15, 26. In the New Living, it says, "I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify about me." And then we're going to read another scripture about the Spirit of Truth in John 16, 13 through 15, New Living. It says, "When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me." So when we receive the Spirit of the Lord, we receive the Spirit of the truth that bears witness in our heart, that tells us what Jesus said. Hallelujah. We have the Spirit of truth. Amen. And then there's the life-giving Spirit in 1 Corinthians 15, 45. It says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam," speaking of Jesus, "became a life-giving spirit." We receive our life through Jesus Christ. Amen. We are born again through him. He has a life-giving spirit. Romans 8, 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Hallelujah. You know, it just don't matter where we've been in the past. His blood washes us clean. It changes us. Hallelujah. I love the song you guys sing. "I'm no longer a slave to sin, I am a child of God." Oh, yes, that's such good news when we can say we no longer have to be a slave of sin because we're a child of God. Amen. And then there's a spirit of faith. It's also one of the gifts of the Spirit. And 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and speak." So we have the anointing of faith. We have the spirit of faith when we hear God's word and then we agree with it with a spoken word. Hallelujah. That's a spirit of faith. Hallelujah. Through faith, we're able to pull the reality of God's world into this one. And that's the function of faith, pulling the reality of heaven into down where we live. The Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:10, Jesus told us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And our faith is what gets a hold and puts what God's will in heaven is and brings it to the earth realm. Faith has its anchor in the unseen realm or the spirit realm. Faith lives from the invisible to the visible. Faith provides eyes for our heart. It lets us see from our spirit instead of from our natural eyes. And to encourage us in our capacity to see from our heart, Jesus gave us some instruction in Matthew 6:33. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So what do we seek first? The kingdom of God. He's our first one we seek. And then Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." So it is a constant battle for us because we tend to look down. We can tend to look at the awful stuff going around us. But if we will look up, hallelujah, faith looks up. Faith looks to the Lord. Faith looks to the spirit world. Sorrow looks back. Worry looks around. But faith always looks up. We're going to read a scripture about how the Holy Spirit prays the will of God in Romans 8:26-27, the New Living. It says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hears and knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will." And I love that. I love that in praying, in our life of prayer. Many, many times we don't know what to pray for out here. We face situations that look impossible, that look like we can't figure out how to fix this problem that we're looking at. And so we, from our own knowledge, we just really don't know how to pray. And that's when we need the Holy Spirit's help. We always need the Holy Spirit's help because he always knows the right thing to pray. I know in our prayer times, when we pray here in the mornings, you know, we say, "God, Holy Spirit, sir, come, pray your will through us." And many times prayers will come out of our spirit that we would have never have thought up in our head. Because the Holy Spirit knows how to pray the will of the Father. And it's a big help to have the Holy Spirit in us, praying through us God's will. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent, ever present, everywhere. We're going to read Psalms 139:7-10. And it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the earth, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." And you know, so many times when people are in the act of running from God, you know, they're trying to get away from God and they'll turn a corner and run right into him. You know, it's everywhere they went. You know, they're trying to get away from God and there he is right there staring him in the face. He's right there. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Praise God that he's always there. Amen. We're going to read the scripture about the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22-23, It said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The fruit is a natural result of hanging out with the Spirit. We can't do all of these things in our own power and own strength. You know, we'll think, well, I've got a handle on love, and then somebody will make us mad, and it just flew out the window. You know, these aren't things that we can produce in ourselves. We need to fellowship with the Spirit, and it comes. We get these things naturally when we are in fellowship with the Lord. We're going to read John 15:4. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You know, we can't be good on ourselves, by ourselves. We can't have these fruits by ourselves. It takes being connected to Jesus, time in prayer, time fellowshipping with him, time in his word. We soak up who he is. And it's when we're full of the Holy Spirit and full of God, those things are natural fruits that come out of our life. Now we're going to read just quickly through the gifts of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:8-12, it says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as his will. So there's a lot of power gifts here. There's a lot of wonderful gifts here. But operating in the power of God and the gifts of the Spirit need to have a foundation based on the character and the fruits of the Spirit. In other words, we don't want to be trying to work in the power gifts and miracles and all of that if we don't have love. You know, the fruits of the Spirit are the foundation for the gifts of the Spirit. Galatians 5:16-18. Says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And so the key to living in the Spirit is to keep our attention on the Lord. Don't let what the devil is doing get bigger in your mind, in your eyes, than what God is doing. Hallelujah. Let me read it again. Don't let what the devil's doing get bigger in your awareness than your awareness of God's presence in your life. Because whatever you're looking at, that's where you're going to go. So if you keep your eyes on the Lord, you're going to go toward the Lord, you know. Have you ever been driving and you turn to look at something on the side, and pretty soon what are you doing, you know? You're following where you're looking. You're going to go where you're looking. Wherever you put your attention, that's where you're going to follow. And we need to keep our attention on the Lord, and that's where we're going to end up, with the Lord and his Spirit. And if we begin to look at evil and look at evil things, that draws us down the wrong path, the wrong way. Amen. Don't live as a reaction to darkness. Rather live in response to light. That's a good one to memorize. Don't live as a reaction to darkness. Rather live in response to light. Romans 8, 7 through 8 in the Message says, "For focusing on self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing, and God isn't pleased with being ignored." Duh. But, you know, if our attention's all on self, you know, we do ignore God. It's all about me and what I want and what I feel and why everybody's wrong, does wrong to me. And, you know, if we begin to think about self, we lose sight of God. And God wants our attention on him because that's where our victory is. Amen. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Hallelujah. It means the full-born, the grown-up sons of God and that son there. But, I mean, we can be born again and have him in our spirit and still be following our flesh. But those that are mature and grown-up sons of God, they're going to be led by the Spirit of God and not led by their own flesh. Amen. We need to surrender to God, yield to him. Romans 12:1 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." And so worshiping God, one definition right here of worshiping God is just give him all we are. You know, we've heard this song, "All that I am, all that I have, all I shall ever be is yours, Lord." You know, there's songs that we can just make God number one in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to quiet our own thoughts. The gifts of the Spirit flow from your spirit, man, not from your flesh, your emotions, or your intellect. You know, it's human nature to try to even control what God's doing in your life. You know, we want to have control of everything, but the Spirit things don't come from our own intellect, our own will. They come from the Spirit. So we have to learn to tune in to the presence of the Lord and turn into his Spirit. You know, and we do that by spending time in the Word, by worshiping together, by praying, fellowshipping with the Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." True guidance comes from being close to the guide. True guidance comes from being close to the guide. Stay in tune with the Lord. And you know, sometimes it's a battle with our flesh. You know, you sit down to pray, and you imagine the dust that's over here. This needs done, that needs done. And, you know, you sit down and say, okay, I'm going to fellowship with God. And you think about, you know, all kinds of other stuff comes to your mind. And so it takes a focus, a determination. No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm shutting that out. This is my time with the Lord. And it helps to make a special time. I mean, some people pray better at night, some in the morning. And years ago, when our children were little, I started getting up an hour before anybody else in the house did so I could spend time praying and reading my Bible, because otherwise it would just be gone. And that habit all those years, I still get up early and read the Word early and get in fellowship with the Lord early. But choosing a time and a place to regularly get before the Lord, get in His Word, spend time talking to Him, is a really big help. Develop habit patterns that will include God, putting God first in your life. Amen. Exodus 33:11 said, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." God's our best friend. And God wants us to treat Him like our best friend. He wants us to talk to Him about what's troubling us, about the situation we're in. He wants to hear. You know, a parent likes to hear from their children what's going on with you. You know, they don't want them to just clam up and not say anything. You want fellowship. And our Father God, He loves us so much, and He wants to know what's going on in our lives. And when things look impossible for us, they're never impossible for God. Never. You know, we can see a mountain that's so big, we don't see any way out. I mean, it looks impossible to Him, to us. But when we spend time, we can just begin to say, "God, I worship You. I worship You, Lord. I love You. I love You. I worship You. I know there's nothing too hard for You. Nothing. You're the Almighty. You're the King of Kings. You're the Eternal One. And there's nothing too hard for You, Lord. Nothing." And if we spend time just worshiping the Lord and talking to them, when we think about this mountain that seemed so huge before, all of a sudden we say, "Wow, God, this isn't anything for You. You can do this." You know, it changes. Spending time with the Lord changes the way we see things. We see things from God's perspective, not from our perspective. Hallelujah. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in Me and I in him bears much fruit, for without Me you can do nothing." And then we need to walk in love. Ephesians 3:19 says, "To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." The only way we can be full of the fullness of God is to know more of His love, knowing His love, knowing the grandeur and the greatness of His love, you know, helps us to know Him. The gifts of the Spirit are meant to be edify and to be used in love. Love should always be the motivation of all we do. There's two main chapters on the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. And the chapter right in between them is all about love. 1 Corinthians 13 is all about love. So love is the glue of the things of the Spirit. It's what everything should operate around, the love of God. Amen. And as you spend time, make time for the Lord, expect to hear from God. Expect to hear from Him. And John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." So as you get in your quiet time and get before God, expect Him to speak to your heart. Expect it. And He speaks through the witness of His Word. Sometimes when we're, have you ever been reading the Bible and a scripture just kind of jumped out at you? You're just like, "Oh, wow." You know, you may feel like it's the first time I ever read that, but it comes alive to you. And there's the inner voice, the still small voice within is often how we hear from the Lord, His witness inside of us. And there's prophecy, dreams, visions. And so we need to practice hearing the voice of God. Remember young Samuel when he was with Eli and somebody was calling him in the night? And three different times he got up. "Eli, what do you want? You called me." And Eli says, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And the third time, Eli told him, "Ask, say, okay, God, what do you want to say? And the Lord spoke to him. And so as a child, Samuel didn't know the voice of God, but as he grew, he learned to hear the voice of God. And he was a mighty judge in Israel for many years, and he heard the voice of God. And so we learn to hear the voice of God speaking to us. Amen. And I'm going to finish. I got mixed up my notes. I'm going to finish with Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, where it said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me," or "the breath of the eternal God is upon me." I love that. "Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." In verse 3, "to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." This morning, something that's been on my heart is like, we want the presence of the Lord on us. We want the Spirit of the Lord on us. We want the breath of the Eternal One on us. And we would like, if you have a desire to have the Spirit of the Lord breathe upon you, use you, wherever you are, we'd just like to pray for you that the anointing of the Lord will come upon you in a new way and anoint you to run. Hallelujah. Anoint you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we're born again already. We're filled with His Spirit, but we want that anointing of the Lord, the breath of the Lord, the wind of the Spirit to come and rest upon us. Hallelujah. Let's just be quiet before the Lord. If you just have a desire burning in your heart to be used for the Lord in a greater way, we'd just love to pray for you today. And we're just believing great things of the Lord. Amen. Father, we just love you. We just love you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you care for us. We just give you honor and glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Nina, would you come up and help me pray? And we're just going to, anybody that feels, just wants to be closer to the Lord, wants something from the Lord, come on up. Hallelujah. Amen.